Hope you've had a good day worshiping your Lord today and worshiping Him in song and getting to hear His Word preached. Hope we can continue that tonight as we continue our study on the attributes of God. If you'll go with me to our launching verse, to Psalm or Jeremiah, to Jeremiah chapter number 9. Jeremiah chapter number 9, verse number 23. Jeremiah 9:23 says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord." We're going to be looking at the how God is wise, the attribute of God's wisdom, Him being wise. And we're going to be looking at this and breaking this down. We know, well, look at verse number 23 where it starts off. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom." The wisdom of man is nothing when we compare it to the wisdom of God. We're going to be looking at the wisdom of God. And when you think about the wisdom of God, don't think about it with the limitations of the wisdom of man. As we're going to look here in a minute, it doesn't, man's wisdom doesn't even come close to God's wisdom. But let's open in prayer before we jump into this. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this afternoon. I pray that you would help us as we study your word. I pray that you would just guide my words, guide my mouth, help me to show forth this the way you've shown it to me. God, I pray that you would help us to grow in our love for you, in our awe of you. I pray that you would just work tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We talk about God. We're going to be talking about God being wise. We talk about God being all-knowing, His omniscience, and His omniscience, omniscience, all-knowing. We talk about how God knows all things. God knowing all things and God being wise are actually two different things, but they are, that are intertwined. But they are two different things. Can somebody define knowledge to me? How would you define the word knowledge? It's kind of hard to define that one, right? It's to know something, to accumulate knowledge, to accumulate facts. It's knowing something. Knowledge is knowing it. Wisdom is different. Wisdom is defined as applying knowledge. So you can know things, but knowing things and applying those things, or knowing how to apply those things, that's wisdom. Wisdom and knowledge are two different things. Wisdom builds on top of knowledge. It's one thing for God to know everything. But God doesn't just know everything. He knows and He does work to make everything accomplish His will. God knows everything, all things, but He has the wisdom to apply that knowledge to accomplish His will, and has been doing so throughout eternity. Think about it this way. When you put together a puzzle, how many of y'all put together puzzles? Like puzzles? Okay. Nothing else maybe you have in your past, at least as a toddler, I'm sure, or baby, I'm sure you have put together the simple ones, right? Some of us, we're limited to those. If we go any higher than that, we're lost. But when you do a puzzle, knowledge is equivalent to looking at the box, looking at the pile of pieces, and knowing that these pile of pieces make that picture. That's knowledge. Wisdom is how you put it together, where you separate all the edge pieces and all the center pieces, where you separate all the blue and the black and the brown and the green, where you separate all those things. That wisdom is applying how it's going to work together. And the wisdom is knowing also when to step away from it. Like, I'm too frustrated. I'm about to throw this puzzle. I need to walk away. That happens a lot for me. You get frustrated with it, you've got to walk away. That's wisdom, knowing how to apply the knowledge of where you're at on yourself. Wisdom is determining when to move from one section to another, or know how to orient the pieces, change how the pieces go, and know where they are. Wisdom is turning them and knowing, trying to figure out where they go. That's wisdom. Knowledge is knowing the pile is going to make that picture. Wisdom is making that pile into that picture. What God does and has for since time began, He has been taking the puzzle and making it into the picture of His will. He wants to make everything into His will. And when putting together a puzzle, especially if you have cats or little kids, the table gets bumped, pieces go missing somehow, they just disappear. You know, in our free will, we can mess up the pieces. We can mess up the puzzle. But God in His wisdom knows where to go get that puzzle piece and put it back to where it goes. He knows how to correct things and fix the problems that we have made so that it does, in the end, accomplish His will. That is God's wisdom. This lesson we're going to be looking at, this attribute we're looking at, God is wise, goes along with what Pastor preached this morning and how God directs our steps. If you want, when you think about God's attributes, His attributes are not just some arbitrary thing. They're not just a fact. And I hope you've seen that as we've gone through this study. They're not just facts. They have application to our life. When you recognize that God is wise, you'll recognize that when He directs your ways, He's doing it in the best way possible. That's the best way for you. The best way possible. We're going to look at, when we look at God's wisdom, the first thing we need to notice about God's wisdom is that God's wisdom is endless. His wisdom is endless. Go to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter number 11. Romans chapter number 11, verse number 33. Romans 11:33, it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God." You see, the Bible even defines wisdom and knowledge as separate things. "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out." This verse here shows the author's astonishment at the wisdom of God. He couldn't even give an example or an illustration or any kind of definition to it. He just had to say, "Oh, the depth of the wisdom of God." That's just like when Jesus was talking in John 3, verse 16. There's no measurement He could have given. He said, "For God so loved the world." There's no measurement to it. When here the author of Romans writes, "Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God," he's acknowledging that there is no end to it. There's no way to measure it. In reality, there's no way to measure any of God's attributes. They are endless. They're limitless. When we talk about God's wisdom, it is an endless wisdom. God's boundless wisdom begins to be demonstrated to us from the very beginning. When God created the world, not only was knowledge applied to create the world, but so was wisdom. Have you all ever studied biology of any sort? If you think about it, probably maybe some of it's just high school biology, but they show you have bacteria that lives in your stomach. That bacteria is required. It itself is a living organism. And it's required for you to have life. Without that bacteria, what happens to you? You die. Right? If that bacteria gets too aggressive and eats through your stomach lining, what happens? You die. Right? It has to be done just right. So not only did God have to know that, hey, you're going to need bacteria so you can eat food because you need food to make energy. He knew, okay, it's got to be limited to this, by this way, and he knew how to apply all the knowledge to create a functioning, living body that can live, that can eat, that can breathe, that can walk, that can talk, that can see, that can hear, that can heal. That's our God's wisdom. It was applied from the very beginning. The very beginning of time and the very beginning of the fall. As soon as the fall happened, God's wisdom started forming a path to salvation. God's wisdom got to work in that. It applied at the fall. In God's wisdom, sin came on all men at one time. Rather than separate times and separate ways, it all came on us at once. Who brought sin, man? What man brought sin into this world? Adam. What if it wouldn't have been Adam that ate of that tree? What if it would have been Cain that ate of the tree? We'd have multiple lines, right? We'd have multiple lines, some say, or some that have sin in them, some don't. That's not what God did. God allowed the person that was going to sin to be Adam. And so that sin by him could come upon all men. It would pass upon all of us, and there would be, how many people do we need to be saved? Or how many people had to die on the cross for us to be saved? One. One perfect, innocent God-man. If, when God created Adam and Eve, how did God create Eve? He took a rib from Adam, bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, and formed the woman. What if he would have created man out of the dirt and then woman out of the dirt? You would have two separate people, two separate types of people. There's not one connecting them by DNA or any other sort. With Eve coming from Adam, it provided that there was one head of the entire human race. Male and female has one head of the human race, and that was Adam. So by Adam, sin passed upon all men and women. God's wisdom was applied in this so that because he knew they were going to sin, he knew they were going to fail. So if he was going to make a way for them to be saved, the only way to do that was to have one man who would take upon that sin. If he would have created man and woman separately, he would have had to have a man and a woman die on the cross. Can't really do that when God is masculine. It kind of makes it problematic there. In Romans chapter number 5, you're in Romans, turn to chapter number 5. This isn't just me spouting out things. God himself writes this in Romans. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. God's wisdom doesn't just apply in the way we walk and the way we live our lives. It applied from the very beginning of time. And it continues on to today. In God's wisdom, he allowed sin to enter through one man so that over many millennia of working, he would be able to bring about the one whom salvation would come. By his wisdom, not only did it stop there, his wisdom has brought that gospel story to you and salvation to you. How were you saved? By God's wisdom working and keeping the gospel story and bringing it to you. God's endless wisdom is something we see throughout all of Scripture and throughout all of history. How many times were the Jews supposed to be eliminated? How many countries, how many men stood against Israel to destroy them? I don't even know the number. But God, in His wisdom, kept it going. How many times, the line of David alone was supposed to be knocked off, was supposed to be eliminated, supposed to be destroyed. Yet God, in His wisdom, made it possible that they were kept safe so that Jesus, the Son of David, could be born as the God-man and as King. God's wisdom is an incredible thing. It is endless. It is an endless thing. Not only is God's wisdom endless, but God's wisdom is also manifest. God's wisdom was manifest. Manifest, do y'all know what that word means? It's a Bible word. What does the word manifest mean? Do it. Someone said it. Yes. It's open to see. It's clearly seen. It's obvious. God's wisdom was made obvious. It wasn't, God's wisdom is not hid. It's not covered up. It's not a secret thing. It is made obvious. It's unsearchable. It's deep. We can't fully know it, but He made it obvious to us and clear to us. In Solomon, Solomon was a young man. He was just becoming the king of Israel. And God comes to Solomon in a dream and asks him, or tells him, ask me for one thing and I will give you whatever you want. And Solomon, what does he ask for? Wisdom. What does the Bible say about Solomon? Wisest man that ever lived. Solomon, his wisdom far surpassed anyone around. Egypt was supposed to be the high scholars at that time. Egypt came to Solomon and was surprised by his wisdom. The Queen of Sheba came to Solomon and said that they haven't even touched the surface of what your knowledge and what your power is. Solomon had wisdom that we couldn't even comprehend, yet he failed to apply that wisdom, and he fell into sin. How many wives did he have? Too many. This is a good answer. He had 600 wives and 300 concubines. 900 women. Way too many. He had all this wisdom, yet he failed. His sinful flesh kept him from showing forth the wisdom of God that God had blessed him with. Solomon is not the manifesting of God's wisdom. The manifesting of God's wisdom is Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Verse number 21. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them that are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. The Jews sought after a sign. They wanted to see it. They wanted to see God. How many you think about the Old Testament and how many times God showed himself to the Jews. They wanted to see him. The Greeks, what do we know the Greeks as? The Greeks and Romans both. They gathered knowledge. They have philosophy. They had wisdom. They thought they became super intelligent people, right? Well, they came so smart they became dumb. They saw when God was preached to the Jews and God was preached, the Christ was preached to the Greeks. They saw it as stumbling block and as foolishness because it did not make sense to them. They didn't understand it. They couldn't understand it. It is through Christ that God's wisdom is seen. And it is through Christ that God's wisdom makes sense to our immoral and corrupted minds. Think about it for a second. Stop. Don't think as a Christian. Don't think as a son of and the daughter of God. Think as the world. Somebody offends you, what do? Hurt them back, right? What does God do? He forgives. What kind of God would forgive? What kind of judge would forgive? It's foolishness, right? In man's eyes. You see, most of you are saved. I would hope all of you, adults, are saved. We know Christ. We understand God, so His ways make sense. The Bible makes sense. You have people that are confused by it, that it doesn't make sense to, that they will ridicule it. They will criticize our God. They will criticize the Scriptures. They will claim that it doesn't make sense, that it goes against logic. It does go against corrupted human logic. But when you think about it through a pure mind, when you think about it through Christ, it makes sense. When you think about why would someone forgive someone who has offended them so much? Look at the love of Christ. That's why. It doesn't make sense in the world's eyes, but it does in Christ. Why would somebody lay their life down? It doesn't make sense, but for Christ. Why would someone trust? Doesn't make sense, but for Christ. You know, if you think of us as humans, human to human, a lot of times we need a lot of proof from one another before we'll trust somebody, right? Even if you first meet them, you require some proof from them. You want some evidence that they're not gonna lie to you, they're not gonna trick you, they're not gonna deceive you. You want proof that you can trust them. And you need to see it. But when we trust God, do we see God? Can we watch God? We can watch Him work, right? As a believer, we trust God without seeing. We trust God, we walk by faith and not by sight. We trust in Him, following after Him, and we get to see Him working. And where we see God working, the world sees coincidences or happenstance. The book of Esther, I love reading the book of Esther because God's name is not mentioned. But it will say, and it happened. And it happened to be like that. I truly believe God wrote that way on purpose. To get us to say, to realize that when something, it happened to end up that way, that was God. That was God working. That was God moving. That was God, as Pastor preached this morning, that was God directing our ways. God's wisdom is made visible, is made clear through Christ. It is made manifest. The wisdom of God is greater than we can comprehend on our own. That is why we must look at it through Christ. The wisdom of God is made clear through Jesus Christ. The wisdom of God is given. So God's wisdom is endless. God's wisdom was manifested, and God's wisdom is given. Because of Christ, because of Jesus coming, dying on the cross, being raised again, and sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Because Christ did all of that, we can have wisdom. And He gladly gives it to us. Ephesians 1, verse 17. Ephesians 1, 17 says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. When we trust in God, when we know God, He gladly and willingly gives us the spirit of wisdom. What is the spirit of wisdom? Spirit of wisdom is the Holy Spirit Himself. He gives you God Himself. He gives you Himself so that you can have wisdom. Go to James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men when he feels like it, and upbraideth half the time, and it shall be given him. Is that true? Is that what? Is that Bible? It's not the King James Bible, I can guarantee that. It's, he giveth to all men what? Liberally. Liberally means freely, openly, more than they need. Just pouring it out. When he's handing out wisdom, he's not conservative with it. We're not conservative, liberal. It's not politics, by the way, because I know that's where a lot of our brain goes. When the Bible speaks of liberal, it's not politics. Conservative, liberally. Conservative means you're in this sense, it's holding back. Liberally means it's pouring out, it's giving out. He's giving freely to them. He liberally gives out more than what you need. And he upbraideth not. That means he doesn't beat you over the head because you don't know. Sometimes it's hard raising kids because you're talking to them and they don't know something. You're like, I feel like you should know this. But they don't know it. And it's just, you want to just upbraid them. You want to get on them. You want to get frustrated. You want to get irritated because they don't know something. But God's not that way. And we as parents are to be like God when we teach our children. We're not to upbraid them. We are to, as God does, when we come to Him, God, I don't understand. I need wisdom on this. He gives it to you and He doesn't mock you. He doesn't make you feel guilty for not knowing. He just gives you the answer, gives you the way. How does He give you the way? How does He give you the answer? This Bible. He gives it to us through this. Because Jesus Christ lives within us. Because Jesus Christ sits on the right hand of God. And we have this. He gives us understanding. He gives us wisdom. He makes it where we can understand this. Where this isn't just a bunch of gobbledygook. That it's not just a bunch of words, a bunch of confusion. Something we can actually understand. Matthew 7:7, Jesus says, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Is there any question on that? It's freely given. It shall. It will. There's no doubt. Seek. Ask God for wisdom. Proverbs 2:3-6 says, yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. What do we call this right here? We have different names for it, right? What do we call this? The Bible. Holy Bible, right? What else do we call it? The Word of God. It is, what does the Bible say of itself? All Scripture is given by inspiration. What does inspiration mean? God breathed. This is God's words. This comes from His mouth. This is God breathed. Every one of these words that were written down, He breathed into the hearts and the minds of the human that penned it. And from this, we learn wisdom and knowledge and understanding. God does not make us beg for wisdom. We do not have to go hike up some mountain and seek some monk that's been sitting up there for 100 years. We don't need to go and crawl across a stone street. We don't have to beat our bodies. We don't have to perform some type of ritual to be able to get the wisdom of God. All we have to do is ask. Ask and listen. Listen, Linda. Listen. You have to listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit living within you and listen to what He's written right here. If you want wisdom, ask it of God. Read His Word. Listen to His Holy Spirit. He gives wisdom liberally. He is a God that gives wisdom. And He can give it because He is wisdom. God is wise. This wisdom, we've talked about a couple of His attributes, and I've told you that some of God's attributes are uncommunicable, meaning you cannot recreate them. Others are communicable, meaning you can recreate them. Wisdom is one that God gives us as communicable. It's one we can recreate. It's one we can express to the world. It's one we can have. We can have wisdom of God, by God, through God. God is wise. In His wisdom, He gave us the gospel and the ability to understand Him. God is wise, and His wisdom is endless. His wisdom is manifest, and His wisdom is given. I pray you see the wisdom of God, and that it puts you in awe of God, and that you love your God more for His wisdom, because our God is wise. Let's close. Heavenly Father, I thank You for this study. I thank You for Your Word. I pray that You would help us to see Your wisdom. Help us to trust in Your wisdom. Help us to rely on You. God, we thank You for giving us wisdom, helping us to understand, helping us to know You. I pray we would use that wisdom that You give us to bring others to You. God, I pray that You would help us to bring lost to You, help bring one another build up in You. Pray that You would just guide, and we thank You for what You do. I love You, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.